هديت بالقرآن أنرت طريقي.
Assalamu alaikum everyone, it's Halima Kagali and welcome to another episode of the Quran Lifestyle Show. Okay, today let's talk about how to deal with toxic criticism. And it's a really important discussion to have because sadly we live in a world today where we are constantly judged and criticized, right? Whether that's our intentions or our beliefs or our physical appearances, our choices, our dreams, you name it. And we know the list of the negative consequences that toxic criticism can have on us too, right? So the low self-esteem, the self-doubt, the sadness from not fulfilling our dreams, etc. And because of all those things, we've actually come to fear criticism. So we commonly stop ourselves from sharing our feelings sometimes or our thoughts or from making certain decisions and taking certain actions in attempt to kind of protect ourselves from all of the hurt. But sadly, as a coach, I've seen just how much this fear actually holds people back from really fulfilling their potential and experiencing that happiness and the success that they deserve. And I find it particularly sad because the true reality is that the only way that we can ever completely avoid criticism is if we say nothing, if we do nothing and be nothing. And that's just not an option, right? There's no rehearsals in life. We only get one attempt at this dunya. So to say nothing and do nothing and be nothing, it just violates our very sense of purpose and fulfillment, right? Well, alhamdulillah, you know, the good news is that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. You don't need to hide away from the world and go against this fitrah to achieve in order to really protect yourself from toxic criticism. You can protect your emotional and your mental well-being while still being open to feedback so that you don't miss out on what can potentially help you to develop and grow as well. Because of course, there's certain parts of ourselves that we could and sometimes that we need to improve ourselves for the better, and that's just a given. Okay, so how do we achieve this? Well, it's when we first learn how to effectively monitor and to control the floodgates of opinion. And that starts fundamentally by being able to distinguish what is toxic from what isn't in the feedback that we receive. Now, I know that sounds super simple, but the truth is that in this day and age, a lot of the criticism that we receive is actually disguised, I would say, and packaged as gifts of unsolicited advice or feedback or nasiha, when it really isn't. And many of us have dangerously come to believe that the advice that's offered to us by our fellow Muslims and from those who tell us that they love and care for us, like family and friends, that it always classifies as nasiha. It always classifies as this beneficial advice that our faith obligates us to listen to and to internalize. You know, we believe that somehow to ignore it is an act of arrogance or pride. But this isn't the truth. You know, not all feedback classifies as nasiha, and we're not obligated to always accept the feedback that we receive from people. You know, dismissing feedback sometimes is not a sin or an act of weak faith or a sign of arrogance either. And that's simply because, you know, we're human and we're flawed and we all make mistakes. So sometimes we have to realize that some of the feedback we're going to get in life is going to come from a heart that is full of jealousy and envy. Or it's going to come from a heart sometimes that desires to control, or is going to come from a place of selfishness, or that suffers from other spiritual diseases. And sometimes it can simply even just come from a heart that is just innocently misinformed and, you know, is ignorant to what's really best for us. And it's for that reason that, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we only wholeheartedly and unquestionably accept that which comes from our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we should also make sure as well that the principles and the actions that we live by are therefore defined by him. And we shouldn't just make the assumption, for example, that we know what arrogance is, because, you know, and assume that it applies here. Because in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arrogance, for example, is actually classified as rejecting the truth of Islam and looking down on other people, subhanAllah. So I hope that you can see that there is this difficulty sometimes for us to make a clear distinction between what is toxic and what isn't, in order for us to really move forward and productively manage the feedback that we receive. But you know, once you develop that skill, you're going to find that the clarity that it brings you is going to give you such peace of heart and mind, inshallah. You know, you're going to start building this refreshing inner confidence within you, and it's going to help you to develop this drive and momentum as well to keep pushing forward in life, so that you can, you know, freely share your words and your actions, inshallah, and you can be, you know, fulfill that potential that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed within you. Okay, so how do we go about then practically learning to control the floodgate of opinion? You know, how do we learn how to distinguish between what's toxic and what isn't in the feedback we receive? Well, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us himself that the Quran explains all things. So being the most complete guide, the most relevant book to our lives, it provides us, it offers us with some profound insights and lessons on this subject for us to practically benefit from, alhamdulillah. And the first thing that you'll learn from the Quran with regards to this subject is that we're never alone in our struggles of criticism. You know, because within the Quran, within the stories of our amazing role models and the righteous souls that are mentioned in the Quran, we find that they dealt with a lot of criticism in its various different forms and extremes. And if you were to look particularly at the story of Musa alayhi salam, you'll find that he had to deal with someone whose words were significantly laced with toxic criticism, and that was Fir'aun. And interestingly, if you look at one particular conversation between the two of them that's documented in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, you'll actually find that demonstrated for us is the full spectrum of toxic criticism. So in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually lays out for us the different types and the different levels through which criticism can escalate. So if we really examine that conversation, we're going to see showcased for us five key indicators of toxic criticism that can really help us to better identify and to distinguish what's toxic from what isn't. So if we find any of the following indicators somehow weaved into our feedback conversations that we have, it should raise a red flag in our mind. You know, regardless of whether you're listening to a loving advice from a spouse or constructive feedback from a coworker, or shared thoughts from members of the public that might follow you on social media. The fact that this man that Musa was talking to was a father figure, someone who adopted him as a son and who he grew up under the care of, it shows us that we should be wary of these indicators when speaking with anyone. And from this conversation between Fir'aun and Musa, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tell us what to watch out for, but if we analyze Musa alayhi salam's reaction to each of those types or levels of criticism, then we learn that, you know, what we should replicate in response to what we experience to protect our mental and emotional well-being, inshallah, so we can move forward in life. Okay, so now let's get started. So when Musa alayhi salam, he comes to Fir'aun to share his mission and his goal to establish Tawheed and to free Bani Israel, Fir'aun begins to share his feedback. And if you notice, the first toxic tactic that he deploys when he's trying to sway Musa and essentially hurt him is that he recalls favors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, "And go both of you," meaning Musa and Harun, "to Fir'aun and say, 'Behold, we bear a message from the sustainer of the worlds. Let the children of Israel go with us.'" And Fir'aun, he says, "Did we not bring you up amongst us when you were a child? And did you not spend amongst us years of your life?" So here, Fir'aun basically is attempting to make Musa feel a sense of obligation towards him by reminding him of the good that he previously done towards him. And this is really powerful because, you know, we human beings, we are naturally inclined to reciprocate any good that's done towards us. We tend to listen to people who have helped us in the past because they supposedly have our best interests at heart, right? But what we see in response is that Musa, he frees himself of Fir'aun's attempt to kind of subdue him into this guilty obedience by reminding Fir'aun that these so-called favors that he did would have never actually taken place if he didn't enslave Bani Israel to begin with. So the favor that Musa received of being taken in and adopted by the royal family, by Fir'aun, was actually a favor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did in response to the atrocities that Fir'aun was committing. Because we know that from the Quran that Allah inspired the mother of Musa to place Musa in the basket when Fir'aun's men were coming and slaughtering all the sons of the children of Israel. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's the one that guided the basket to the home of Fir'aun where Asiya discovered him and they adopted him. So for us, when we're personally dealing with this type of toxic tactic, we should always keep in mind that first and foremost, all the flavors are ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as much as you do appreciate a person's good actions towards you, you know, if they're using those gifts or those acts that they've done to manipulate or to emotionally bully us, that's not okay. Because, you know, favors by their very nature, they're supposed to be a gesture of goodwill, right? That someone does without any expectation from you. No, they're not, they shouldn't be expecting something in return. You know, they're supposed to be done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by using these favors against us when someone's trying to influence us, when they're giving us this so-called feedback and advice, it actually negates the purpose of a true favor in the first place. And again, it's just a very subtle form of toxic bullying that we need to be aware of, inshallah. And ultimately, we should remember that the value of a person's feedback should in and of itself be enough to compel us into action without that need for emotional manipulation. Okay, the second indicator of toxic criticism, the second more aggressive level that Fir'aun then went to, was to recall Musa's flaws and mistakes. So we're told in the Quran that Fir'aun, he continued and he said, "And yet you did commit that heinous crime of yours." So by reminding Musa of a previous crime, Fir'aun, he's attempting to spark these feelings of self-doubt and these feelings of guilt within Musa. So we know, although Musa, he killed the Egyptian man by accident when he was just attempting to help the Israelite in need of help, Fir'aun is still attempting to sow that doubt about the legitimacy of Musa's leadership and his message. That's both within Musa himself and amongst the people. And this is actually psychological abuse, where someone tries to stop you from moving forward by making you feel inadequate or unworthy. And in response to that, we see that Musa, alayhi salam, he overcame Fir'aun's attempt by simply reiterating facts. So he stated the fact that it was a mistake that he made years ago before receiving guidance. So, you know, if we find ourselves in a similar situation, we need to remember the reality that all human beings are flawed and no one is free of mistakes. And in Islam, it teaches you that if you are really sincere, if you make sincere repentance, istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, you've tried to make amends and you're committed to not going back to that sin, then surely He will forgive you. So why shouldn't you be able to forgive yourself? You know, remember that if you allow these kind of forms of criticism to occupy your mind and to prevent you on your journey to, inshallah, you know, releasing your potential and fulfilling that, then you're forever going to be lingering in the state of procrastination. You know, you're going to be prevented from feeling truly happy and fulfilled. Now, if you follow this conversation in Surah Al-Shu'ara between Fir'aun and Musa, you're going to see that Fir'aun, you know, all of these unsuccessful attempts at getting Musa to internalize this toxic criticism, it causes him to escalate things even further. Indicator number three is mockery. So Fir'aun, he then sarcastically says to Musa in this surah, you know, "And who is this sustainer of all the worlds?" And when Musa provides an answer, Fir'aun then responds again with a rhetorical question. He's mocking him. He says, you know, Fir'aun said to the people around him, "Did you hear what he said?" So Fir'aun's tactic of using sarcasm and posing rhetorical questions, it's an attempt to mock Musa's message. And by the way, you'll actually see in the Quran elsewhere that he also directly insults Musa too. You know, he mocks his speech impediment that he has when he says, you know, "I am Fir'aun. Am I Fir'aun not better than this Musa, who is a wretch and he can scarcely express himself clearly?" Subhanallah. And you know, Fir'aun, in his mockery of Musa, he also directly challenges Musa as well in this surah, in Surah Al-Shu'ara, because he says to him, "Produce proof then, if you're a man of truth." Now, mockery is really dangerous because in its many different forms, it's used as a weapon to kind of weaken your confidence and to make you appear inadequate in front of other people. So this person, they're going to highlight gaps in your knowledge, flaws in your character, shortcoming in your abilities, all for the purpose of really trying to weaken your credibility. Okay, so how does Musa then respond to Fir'aun's mocking insults and his challenge? He simply ignores the words and he just takes positive action. You know, he provides Fir'aun with the miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't dwell on what isn't perfect, like his speech impediment, for example. He simply moves forward, focusing on what he can do. And so when we're mocked, we should remember first and foremost that no human beings are perfect, nor will we intended to be either. Because you know, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. We all have gaps in our knowledge and in our abilities, and that's for the purpose of allowing other people to complement us, because your strengths are going to complement gaps in other people, just like they will for you as well. And that's because we were all essentially created to work in unison, because what's required of us as a creation, it goes beyond the capabilities of just one individual. And that's why you'll see Musa alayhi salam, you know, when he fears about his speech impediment, he asks for the assistance of his brother Harun, right? Who joins his mission and becomes a prophet as well. And as for our shortcomings in our character or our faith, you have to remember that we've been gifted with this journey of life for the purpose of positively growing with that, right? And that is a lifelong commitment, inshallah, to develop ourselves. It's a journey and not a destination. And when we find ourselves dealing with this type of criticism, the second thing we should remember is to focus on what we're able to do, like Musa did, you know. What action can we take right now to keep moving forward, to keep bettering things, to contribute even more? Because as they say, where focus goes, energy flows. Okay, so when Fir'aun realizes that his attempt to crush Musa through this toxic criticism is really unsuccessful, he becomes again even more extreme in his approach. And this is where we learn about... indicator number four, which is threats. So in the Quran, we're told that Fir'aun said, "Indeed, if you choose to worship any deity other than me, then I will most certainly throw you into prison." Now, if you experience such things, although it can be undeniably really unsettling, I want you to know that it basically indicates that your perpetrator, they sense this lack of control over you. You know, they feel that you're not going to accept or be affected by their opinions. And the productive response to this is to simply continue doing what's best, you know, continue positively contributing to people, because then there will be a growing support and a need for the work that you do and the good that you do, inshallah, that's going to outweigh any criticism. Just like we see in Musa alayhi salam's case, you know, as he stands firm on his mission, despite all these different levels of toxicity that he experiences from Fir'aun, you see that his opponents, the magicians, they become believers, right? Subhanallah. And they support, you know, so the support for Musa, it increases even more. But of course, if you do feel that there are any threats made against your life that are, you know, very concerning for you and very real or imminent, then of course, don't just ignore it, you know. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his protection. Reach out to your friends and family as well to share your concerns with them. And even contact the police or the relevant authorities to you, inshallah, because your life is sacred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see there's another failed attempt by Fir'aun to crush Musa alayhi salam with his toxic criticism. And this is where, again, he goes even further in his extremity. And this is where indicator number five comes in. And that is labeling. So we know in the Quran that Fir'aun says to the people around him, "Verily, this is indeed a sorcerer of great knowledge who wants to drive you out of your lands by his sorcery." Now, one of the most harmful and the most extreme forms of criticism demonstrated by Fir'aun here is when he viciously branded Musa and his intentions as being evil and harmful to other people. You know, when someone tries to wrongfully portray you in a negative light, their attempt here is to really turn other people away from you because they feel they have no control or influence over you. And if you find yourself in this kind of situation, it's really important that you remember once again that actions speak louder than words. So the answer here is to simply persist in the good that you're doing, because those who benefit from you and receive value from you, they're going to actually become advocates on your behalf. And of course, most importantly, we can't forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's aware of all things and he assists the doers of good and the believers, inshallah. You know, people who do end up, you know, they may end up judging you based on that negative hearsay, they're not the kind of supporters that you need anyway. It's really vital for us to remember and to recognize that the number of critics that we have usually never even closely equates the number of supporters that we have in life. So we need to ensure that those critics, they don't disproportionately occupy a greater percentage of our thoughts and our efforts, inshallah. Okay, now before I end here, inshallah, I just want to quickly highlight two important things. Now, the first thing that is that although I said it is impossible to completely avoid criticism, as they say, prevention is better than cure, right? So just be aware that there are ways that you can actively avoid having to spend so much time listening and reading and just being absorbed around so much criticism. So for example, if you're using an online platform, you know that you can switch off the option for people to comment on your content, or you can block any reoffending individuals, right? And if you're dealing with criticism, you know, for in person, so maybe with a family member, a work colleague, for example, although there isn't a one-fits-all approach, it's really important that you do sit down and you think of a strategy that you feel is appropriate to your situation and your circumstance that you can utilize, inshallah. So for you, that might be creating a healthy distance between you and them. Or maybe it's having an open discussion with that person. So really telling them your true feelings and thoughts about their words and clarify to them what it is you want them to stop or to start doing instead, inshallah. Or if that's not an option for you, maybe you might need to choose to refocus yourself mentally to make the shift. So for you, it might be renewing your good intentions towards them and maybe choosing instead to have a mental distance. So you might choose to journal a lot, inshallah, or to go to counseling in order to protect your emotions, inshallah, and your thoughts. And secondly, it's really important for us to understand why experiencing negative or toxic criticism actually hurts us in the first place. And that's because, you know, as human beings, it questions the very things that we seek. And that includes the desire to be understood, the desire to be accepted, and fundamentally actually questions the very thing we need most as human beings, and that's love. And that's why when people, you know, they constantly criticize us, we often exhibit this, you know, the opposite emotion, right? A hatred towards them, or maybe sometimes a hatred towards ourselves for not being able to feel worthy enough of their love. Now, many people, however, you know, we don't realize that there are two sources, regardless of who you have in your life or you don't to give you love, there are two sources of unconditional love that will forever be a comfort and support for you, inshallah. And that is the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love for yourself. Now, to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the epiphany of all love stories. And that noble journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love, I think is most beautifully expressed in a quote by Khabab ibn al-Arat, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "Do whatever you wish to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but know that you will never get closer to him with something more beloved to him than his own words," meaning the Quran. And as for the journey of truly loving ourselves, it really just begins with a single choice. You know, we have to choose, despite all the personal criticism that we're faced with in life, to never become our own number one critic. Now, if you think that you're ready to take your Quran relationship to a whole new level, then make sure you join my Quran Blueprint Masterclass. And that's available to join via my website, QuranRehab.com. And you know, when you purchase that course, not only are you going to really help to support my channel, inshallah, and my message, but when you access that masterclass, it's going to reveal to you over a decade's worth of my research into what it really is that helps people to achieve those more meaningful and deeply fulfilling Quran heart goals, as I like to call them. You know, things like how you can be more wowed by the Quran and more moved by this greatest miracle when you're engaging with it. How you can experience that deeper personal connection with the Quran so that you feel it's really relevant to every aspect of your personal life. So, you know, it's practically helping you to overcome your challenges and bring in that comfort and guidance that you personally need. Quran heart goals like how you can build more emotional substance in your Quran relationship as well, so that, you know, you feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's profuse love for you through its pages and you can't help but feel that love in return. How you can make your interactions with the Quran more personally motivating and enjoyable and easy process as well, you know, that creates this kind of thirst and drive to go back to it again and again. How the Quran can help you to essentially transform yourself and your life so that you can start enjoying, you know, new levels of long-term success, whether that's in your relationships, your health, your mental and emotional well-being, you name it. This masterclass is essentially going to show you step by step how you can basically start living what I call a Quran lifestyle, inshallah. So the Quran Blueprint Masterclass, 4 Steps to Revolutionizing Your Quran Relationship, is available at QuranRehab.com right now.